Moses stood before the Hebrew people, staff in hand, inviting them on a journey. Behind them was Egypt, the land of their enslavement. Before them, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that was promised to their ancestor Abraham, a land where they could live and worship as God intended. All that stood between them was the sand of the desert and the heat of the sun. It was the desert that their ancestors had crossed to reach Egypt in the first place. But this time, instead of wandering in search of food, they would be going home. I don't know if you've ever noticed when you take a trip, the road home always seems faster, doesn't it? Well, that's not going to be true in our story today. In the book of Exodus, we find a couple different explanations for what would become a 40-year journey. We find that due to idolatrous behavior, the immediate lack of impulse control of the people while Moses was up on the mountain getting the tablets, a consequence was handed down that they would wander in the desert for a generation. There's other narration in the book of Exodus that explains that God also didn't want to send them the shortest way because it would take them through dangerous, warring places that would cause them to turn back in fear. For either of those reasons, or honestly, a plethora of others, in the book of Exodus, we find the Hebrew people on a journey through the desert that lasts a very nonspecific 40 years. I say nonspecific because in our scriptures, the number 40 is used to denote a specific length of time that isn't as specific as we might think. The number 40 doesn't actually denote a specific length, but that time is specific in its ability and power to change people. Sometimes 40 days, sometimes 40 years. Anytime you see the number 40 in our scriptures, know that the people will not be the same at the end of it as they were at the beginning. The story of the Hebrew people in the wilderness is a powerful story that stands with the Passover as a religion-defining example of the continuing presence of God with the Hebrew people. This is a journey that shaped the people on it, just as the story of that journey has shaped every generation of God's people since. So like many before us, we will consider our journey to what is promised to us by God. The scripture today is one of the realities encountered by a wandering people. You think about this. You get the people together. You line them up. You send them out into the desert, and they're wandering. They're going to encounter some realities that we can probably identify with. Today's scripture is one that lays plain before us the truth that what we might come to is not always immediate. Or said another way, God's promise of a future with hope doesn't always show up immediately. God doesn't have short-term vision. God has a long-term vision. Often the journey to what is promised is uncertain and difficult. As we journey from one moment to the next, as we journey from one phase of life to another, as we wander through our days, there is often more unknown than known. And sometimes the only thing that we know for certain is that we certainly don't know. This is the moment that we join the Hebrew people in the book of Exodus in the 16th chapter. The moment that they're realizing there is more unknown than known and they have no clue how on earth they will get where they're going. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the Sin Desert, which is located between Elim and Sinai. They set out on the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt. The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites said to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in Egypt. At least in Egypt we could sit by pots that were cooking meat and eat bread. Instead, you've brought us out here into the desert to starve all of us." I notice it doesn't say thank you, God, or thank you, Moses, in the scripture today. Just a lot of complaining. I mean, the Hebrew people, They have just witnessed the power of God freeing them through a series of miracles that actually define the phrase biblical proportion. Rivers were turned to blood, frogs, boils, locusts, the sun was blacked out, the angel of death skipped over their doors, just to name a few things. Oh, and then they walked through parted waters on dry ground, leaving enslavement behind them. And then a few weeks in, their tummies start to rumble. They got a little hangry. And so now, they just want to go back. That's all it took for them to freak out and honestly consider going back? Suddenly, they're reminiscing about the food they ate back in Egypt. Oh, you remember the food? Oh, and the water? Oh, yeah, there was food and water. Compared to the uncertainty that they are now facing, that memory does seem pretty great. Until you quit remembering selectively and recall that those tasty meals were served to you while you were enslaved. When faced with uncertainty on a journey, the power of selective memory can be very influential. We can paint a picture that actually defies our own lived experience, because sometimes it's easier than confronting the unknown before us, no matter what promised land might be before us. The Hebrew people knew the promise. They had already experienced the grace and the power that would get them there, and yet their minds kept wandering back to Egypt, not to the enslavement, but to the few little moments they could pick out that said, well, at least we knew some things there. Maybe we should go back. They kept wanting to return to what they knew because it wasn't unknown. Now, as the scripture continues, God is about to rain down food from the sky, manna and quail, enough to feed them each and every day. In fact, the line we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is about the steadfastness of the Lord in Exodus 16. God provided daily bread. Not for the next day, not for a couple extra. You just had to trust this was enough for today, and tomorrow it will come again. So when we pray that, we're not only asking to be provided, but we're also praying for the faith to trust that God will provide even in the midst of the unknown. But as our scripture starts today, amidst all this grumbling, nobody knows that yet. They don't realize the forecast includes bread. They have not connected God's love and faithfulness in their past to love and faithfulness that will carry them into their future. Because as the fast-talking disclaimer at the end of so many commercials reminds us, past performance is no indication of future results. I mean, it's great that God has done wonderful and amazing things, but tomorrow is uncertain, tomorrow is unknown, and it's scary. That's a true thing. I don't judge them for that fear, because I've lived that fear. I bet you have too. Tomorrow is uncertain and the unknown is scary. And you know, honestly, if I can ignore the things I complained about in the past, suddenly what used to be seems a lot better than what I'm complaining about now. There's a wonderful old preacher saying that I want to share with you. It's a saying that's been handed down from preacher to preacher for generations. God did not take the Hebrews through the desert to get them out of Egypt. God took them through the desert to get the Egypt out of them. I find great power in that statement. Said another way, one of the folks said, look, it may have taken God only a day to get them out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get the Egypt out of them. Now, I don't believe that God is a puppet master pulling strings, right? I don't believe this phrase to mean that God causes delays and disruptions in life until we learn a lesson. That is not what I hear in this. But I do believe God's grace and wisdom can change us while we are in times of transition. That as we leave something and head to something new, God looks at that as an opportunity to say, who can I help you become? God is helping us, shaping us on our journey. As we consider what it means to be on a journey that shapes us, part of being shaped is letting go of what is no more. We all have something that is no more, and it may not be as bad as Egypt, but it's where we aren't anymore. And if we spend our time romanticizing what was, what could have been, we will find ourselves wandering away from the promise to come. Do not reshape reality to justify what has been. Let the journey into what will be shape and prepare you. The story of Exodus is a story that has echoed into the future, especially for those who know oppression, for those who literally knew slavery and the wandering to find justice in a promised land. This story has always been powerful. This weekend, the weekend on which we celebrate the prophetic witness of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I want you to hear his admiration for the Exodus story. He actually talked about the book of Exodus in his speech/sermon, I've Been to the Mountaintop, the speech/sermon he gave the day before his assassination. Hear these words. Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our world. And you know, if I were standing at the beginning of time with the possibility of taking a kind of a general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now, and the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt, and I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness, and on toward the Promised Land. That's the story he wanted to see. Reverend Dr. King tapped into the legacy of this story, not only for its direct parallel to a people leaving slavery behind them, but also because the story of the Exodus reminds us that the journey toward the Promised Land takes time, and that God will sustain us in the midst of it. For Dr. King knew that people of color had not yet arrived in the Promised Land, and God was still calling them forward with the hope that justice and freedom were still ahead. You know this continuing journey toward the promise of justice and freedom? A journey into a true land of opportunity. This is a journey that is still being traveled by all of us who call this country home, because we are not all there yet, though some of us do know a bit of promise better than others. And on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, on this inauguration week, I must ask all of us who experience the blessings of the Promised Land through the privilege of our race, our economic status, our gender, our sex, our ability, are we willing to risk our comfort and commit to journeying together with others until all people can know the promised kingdom of God, where justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream? Will we take that journey? Will we refuse to let false narratives reshape reality to justify oppression? Will we acknowledge our own imperfections and name our own part in systems that benefit some instead of others? Will we risk being changed? For this journey towards God's promise of justice is a journey that will shape us, as by the grace of God, it will shape a better tomorrow for all people. May it be so. Amen.